This morning we kind of turn the page backwards a little bit. And what I mean by that is we have been looking at the Apostle Paul the last few weeks. Prior to that we had looked at David, and now we are back to looking at David and what David has taught us through his life and through his reign and through his writings. And so this morning we turn back to the Old Testament, the book of 1 Samuel. And again, what we talked about were chapters 23 and 24, but I'm going to read just a section from chapter 24. And it's a specific story between David and Saul and God and God's presence in their life, shall we say, together. All right? And so, again, chapter 24, and I'm going to read the first part of it, where it says this: "When Saul returned from following the Philistines, he was told, 'Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi.' Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel and went to seek David, and his men in front of Wild Goat Rocks. And he came to sheepfolds, by the way, where there was a cave. And Saul went in to relieve himself." Can't say that the Bible is not earthy, all right? "Now David and his men were sitting in the innermost parts of the cave. And the men of David said to him, 'Here is the day of which the Lord said to you, Behold, I will give you your enemy in your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you.'" Again, imagine the picture. David's in the wilderness. Saul comes to hunt him down. Saul goes into the cave for a potty break. David and his men are hidden in the back of the cave. And here is a chance for David, when Saul least expects it, to cut Saul's throat and have this all come to an end. Yet what happens? Then David arose, stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And afterward, David's heart struck him because he had cut off the corner of the robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointing, to put my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. Saul rose up, left the cave, and went on his way. Afterward, David arose, went out of the cave, and called out after Saul, "My Lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the earth, paid homage. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Behold, David seeks your harm'? Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave. And some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I will not put out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand, for by the fact that I cut off the corner of your robe, I did not kill you." This is the word of God. Have you ever been to the wilderness? I mean, really, really, really wilderness. The kind of thing where you walk in and you really don't know which way is which, and you need a compass and you're packing in stuff and you are in the middle of nowhere. For many of us, that's an experience that has not happened in our lifetime. And yet lately, if you have regular TV or if you have cable TV, it seems to be the cool thing to watch. There's several TV shows now that are all about wilderness survival. Jenny and I, a few weeks ago, happened to see one of the previews or a little snippet of one in which part of the adventure was to see which team could drink their own urine the fastest. I'm like, oh, really? You know? All about surviving in the wilderness. All about how is it that you will not come to your demise? What is it that you need to do in that wilderness to make life possible? Well, the story that we read is one of the first stories, the first of about 15 stories of David in the wilderness, En Gedi, where David is being pursued by Saul, and so he retreats to the mountains, to the valleys, to the caves, and tries to avoid that capture of the king. We need to understand that David didn't start here, nor would David end in the wilderness, but he spent significant time in the wilderness, and that shaped his life. It shaped his kingdom. It shaped his future. And this morning we understand that anybody who wants anything to do with God will spend some time in the wilderness. Within our own country, we have strived to preserve the wilderness. Look back in time and you see Muir and you see Roosevelt and you see Pinnock, people who established the national parks to keep the wilderness alive in this country. A place where we had no control. A place where we would seek some insight. A place that was dangerous, unpredictable. A place that could seem cute and yet deadly. But we as a people seek something else. We seek air conditioning. We seek the lazy boy. We seek indoor plumbing. We seek paved roads. We seek a furnace. We seek a refrigerator. We seek grocery stores. We seek police and fire. We seek something that is completely different than the wilderness. And it always amazes me that when the power goes out, we all freak out because we don't have power and we don't have the internet and we don't have phones and what's going to happen to our refrigerator and we don't have toilets sometimes and we don't have, and we don't know how to deal with it. And yet if we are people who are truly seeking God, we will experience the wilderness. No matter how civilized we are, no matter how organized we are, we will be plunged into wilderness. Now, I'm not talking, obviously, about geography, but I am sure that we will experience a situational, an emotional, a spiritual wilderness that can be terrifying and frightening and dangerous, but at the same time beautiful. At the same time life changing, just like it was for David. So what is it specifically that David teaches us in the wilderness and in the passage that I read this morning? First of all, David was a young man with a rather big head, with a rather arrogance about him, knowing his future. And yet he enters the wilderness, and in the story that we read here, as he engages Saul in En Gedi, we see that the wilderness has created within David a sense of the sacred, of God's work. I mean, again, remember the story. Sitting in the back of the cave, has Saul right where he wants him, can take him. And instead, he goes to Saul and says, I won't harm God's anointed. I will not touch you because you are God's anointed king. It's up to God to work his plan. It's up to God to bring this thing together. But I, by my hands, will not harm you. It happens again in chapter 26, where he has the opportunity, he has the upper hand. And yet this young man, because of the wilderness, because of his reflection, suddenly understands that it's bigger than him. It's bigger than his power, his plans, his might. And it's about God's plan and God's providence in his life. The wilderness has caused him to understand a sacredness of life. The wilderness experience has caused him to understand that it's God's work. And so when we walk into the wilderness of life, it's a time for us to understand that it's God's plan and not our plan. A sense of the sacred. But it doesn't stop there, because he also begins to understand this idea of a refuge. A refuge. If you look at the writings of David or the stories, you understand that in Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, you hear the story, the outside of David's life. But if you read the book of Psalms, you understand the inside, the heart of David's life. And when you read the Psalms, you find out that it took the wilderness for him to understand that God was indeed and is indeed his refuge. When you begin the Old Testament and when you understand Old Testament history, this idea of refuge began very literally as a physical place. That people would find refuge in a cave. They would find refuge in a home. They would find refuge under a tree. And yet David changes all this. He changes it because of his wilderness experience. He changes it because he begins to understand that refuge is not about a place. And refuge is not about a possession. And refuge is not about something. Refuge is about a relationship with a living God. And it's because of David, and it's because of David's writing in Psalms that we begin to understand that Yahweh, the living God of the Old Testament, is our refuge. And David teaches us that because of his wilderness experience. And it's something that we need to understand and we need to possess. But the only way we really do is if we too enter into the wilderness. Because it's when we go to the wilderness that we need to find that refuge. There's an interesting story about a missionary who was in China. In China, when the Communist Party began its uprising and taking control of China. And the missionary came to a point where she knew she could no longer escape the regime, where she was going to be thrown into jail, and where she wasn't sure what her next days would be. And visibly upset, visibly worried, one of the young girls that she was taking care of looked at her and said, "Just remember what you taught us about Moses in the wilderness." And the missionary looked at the girl and said, "Well, I'm not Moses." And the little girl looked at her and said, "Yes, but God is still God." is God our refuge? Is Christ our refuge? When it comes to the wildernesses of life, are we those who are one with Yahweh, with Christ, with a living God? Because David teaches us that sense of sacredness. David teaches us that refuge in our life. And if we look again at the scope of Scripture, understand that on the one end you have the wilderness experience of Moses. And on the other end of Scripture, you have the wilderness experience of Christ. And in both of those situations, what we find is this: Moses and the people of Israel understand a living God. They understand how to worship and how to live for God in truth. And Christ in the wilderness begins to understand the call of his Father and begins to understand what it means to trust God completely. Both of those wilderness experiences are about building that more intimate relationship with God. And that's exactly what happens to David in the wilderness. A more intimate relationship with God. Remember, Saul was in the wilderness as well. The problem was this: Saul had his eyes on one thing, and that was himself. How do I preserve my kingdom? How do I continue my control? How is it that I can stay in power? And in the wilderness, Saul was lost. But David was transformed. And suddenly in the wilderness, he began to look to God more. And suddenly he turned and he listened to God more. And suddenly his eyes were opened to a living God that he indeed could find the sacredness of and find refuge in. I wish I could tell you that life was going to be like a lazy boy chair. But look at the prayer corner. Think about others who again are walking through that dark forest in their own life here and now. Think about yourself and where that might close in on you and where that wilderness comes to get you the most. And then remember David. That David taught us that the wilderness can be beautiful, that the wilderness can be beneficial, that the wilderness can grow us into a new, intimate, personal, powerful, living relationship with Christ, with God. All of us will go into the wilderness. But will we be like Saul and only to be able to look at ourselves? Or will we learn from David and be able to look and to grow closer to living God?